Paul Duane's Irish folk horror film, All You Need Is Death, is now playing in select theaters and on digital from XYZ Films. Beyondfest says, "You'll never be able to hear another folk tune without shivering in fear." David Jenkins of Little White Lies calls it grimly refreshing and confident. You can tell that everyone involved in the making really understood and appreciated the assignment. Watch the genuinely horrifying All You Need Is Death, available everywhere you buy movies.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to Development Hell. For every horror movie that hits VOD, countless others end up DOA. Development Hell is the podcast dedicated to unearthing these cursed horror productions. We're going to find out what went wrong and then decide if these titles still stand a shot at the green light. I am your host, Josh Korngut. I am a filmmaker in Toronto, Canada. This podcast is a proud member of the Dread Podcast Network. Available now from Dread, Howling Village. From the visionary director of The Grudge and The Grudge 2 comes Howling Village. After her brother goes missing, a young psychologist visits an infamous, haunted, and cursed location known as Howling Village to investigate his disappearance and uncover her family's dark history. Howling Village will be available on demand everywhere and on Blu-ray September 14th. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Development Hell. Today, we are talking about a movie that's not exactly a horror movie, but it is a sequel to Jaws. We're on Jaws 3, People Zero. This was going to be the original sequel to Jaws 2 that never came to fruition. Today, we have a very special guest. Usually, we're talking to people in or around the horror industry world, and today, we're going a little bit outside of the box. So we have with us my best friend, Jules. Hi, Jules. Do you want to just tell everybody a little bit about who you are?
Hi, everybody. I'm so excited to be on the pod. Big fan. my name's Juliana Bruin, but everyone calls me Jules. And I am a counselor specializing in addictions and mental health. I am in no way a creative or a part of the horror world, but being best friends with Josh for I don't even know how long, like 15 years now, I've definitely been sort of forced into the horror world, lovingly forced. And so, yeah, I'm here and excited to talk about this really odd movie.
Yeah, that never even was made.
Yeah.
How would you describe our relationship? How would you put it in a nutshell if I had a gun
to my head? Best friends who don't agree on much.
Never agree.
Ever. But love each other very passionately, which means we fight all the time. But with
and love. How did we meet?
We met in high school, and I'm guess you're wanting this. We won prom queen and prom king.
Oh my god, this is huge news!
I've never
had a chance to tell people that I don't think on this podcast before. So this is breaking news, I think.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad I gave you that opportunity.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, because so that was sort of how our friendship solidified, was that we decided to start campaigning together, and it worked. So.
Jules, I hear that you have a fear of amphibians or fishy fishes. Is this true?
Yes. Thank you for bringing it up. My biggest fear is fish and basically underwater altogether, like the plants, the whole shebang. Honestly, okay. Sharks aren't the top of the list.
But you think they would be.
I know, but they're not. But yeah, I got to say, there was way too much underwater in Jaws, the Jaws movies that I watched.
Well, Jaws 3.
Jaws 3.
So I've said it already. I'm going to say it so many more times. But today we are talking about the canceled Jaws 3 People Zero, which would have been the third Jaws film if things have gone according to plan. Jules, I made you watch Jaws 3 for this conversation. What is your relationship with the Jaws series as a whole? What are you experienced with it? Are you not? Like, what's your deal with Jaws?
I am completely unexperienced. I'm so sorry to the listeners listening. I haven't even watched Jaws 1, the like infamous, famous one.
Right.
Or not infamous. I guess it's like beloved. Mm-hmm. I, being afraid of the underwater was just like, I'm not interested. I don't want to do this. And Josh, it's never been one that you've like really sort of made me watch. So I had no, so it was kind of funny to watch Jaws 3D with like absolutely no reference.
No context.
I mean, like, I know about it of course in like the world, but I need your boat, but I don't know anything else.
Growing up as like not a horror person, what was like the public perception of Jaws for someone that hadn't seen it? Like, what was the picture painted by the outside world for this franchise?
I will say that the thing that I always heard about Jaws is having this fear of fish my entire life, like since I was a child, people always thought it was because of Jaws.
So
people would always be like, oh, you're afraid of sharks because of Jaws. And I'd be like, it's not sharks and it's not because of Jaws. So I think it was sort of an annoying thing that I had to kind of come up against because it was this movie that was like so huge and such a big blockbuster and all that. Also, like, I just feel like it was like a Steven Spielberg movie, which again is just like a gigantic, you know, moneymaker. That was sort of my idea behind it. That's about it.
Were you familiar that it's considered the first blockbuster, the first Jaws?
I did not know that. Wow.
Yes, yes, yes. It's famously considered to be the first summer blockbuster film, which is cool.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It is great. I actually had to revisit the first two movies recently for another podcast on the Dread Podcast Network. It's Girl That's Scary. I really highly suggest them. They're very funny. But we talked about Jaws 1 and Jaws 2. And I thought, oh, you know, I'm a seasoned horror person. Right. I've watched them so many times. How scary could it be? Mm-hmm. And I have to say, the first one really rattled me. It's very scary. There's something very primal about the fear of being eaten alive that they really get. They get it right.
Can I ask a question about the first Jaws? The shark in the first one is like a gigantic shark, right? Like it's supposed to be
the great white.
Is it like a mutant great white, like in the way that it's bigger than normal?
You would think so, but I think that's just movie magic. No, it was just supposed to be like an extra large.
Okay, okay.
Great white.
In watching Jaws 3, I was like, it's just a shark. And because I thought that the idea was it was this like Godzilla-like shark.
In the third one, you mean?
No, I thought it was that in the first one.
No, I don't believe so. And I could be wrong. And if I'm wrong and you're yelling at me in your car, well, get your own podcast. No, I'm
kidding. That's right. Yeah.
No, I don't believe so. I think it's just supposed to be a very large shark. It's huge, though. Like, I'm not convinced there are sharks of that size. Although apparently great whites are huge animals and that they can really take you down.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to swim with one.
No, no. I hear sharks are really nice. I've seen videos on YouTube of people swimming with sharks, and they, like, pet their noses, and they're really playful, and they, like, kind of give, like, dog energy. Oh, and I'm sure they could also kill you. I know. Isn't that cute?
That's very cute. I know that I'm not really too afraid of whales, but I am a little bit, like, within my fish phobia thing. But I will say that I've heard killer whales deliberately, like, torture animals to not even eat them. So I always assumed sharks would be similar. Like, literally orcas will slowly pick apart like a fish or a seal and just let it fall to the ground and not even eat it because they're just like
rude.
Yeah. So I'm surprised to hear that sharks are like friendly.
Yeah. I mean, at least with people, right? Yeah. With things that they think kind of look like them. Yeah, generally speaking, animals are dicks. This is just something that we have to come to terms with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I found the orca in Jaws 3. There's an orca featured at the beginning, the scariest part of this movie. It's just like a big head with teeth bobbing in and out of the water for fish. It's like that could just eat your whole head.
No problem. Gotta say, like, I was surprised. This, like, it felt like a big commercial for SeaWorld, this Jaws 3.
yes, I'm sure it was.
But it was, like, also not a great commercial because, like, the big shark got in and hid from them and then killed a bunch of people. So I thought it was sort of interesting to me that I was like, huh, SeaWorld, like, really let this go. I don't know.
Is like, SeaWorld actually attached to the ocean? Like this movie?
No, I don't think
okay.
so.
Okay. I mean, how could it be? That no. seemed very insane to
I
me.
I mean, clearly it shouldn't be. They are the
no, no. explaining. No, no, no. That. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah. It reminds me. So in Canada, we have something called Marine World, Marine Land. And yeah. It made me think of that. Yeah.
It did kind of have a Marine Land energy. Uh-huh. You always know it's the beginning of the summer season when the Marine Land jingle is heard on TV. That's
everyone
always...
loves Marine Land.
Except for all of the sad whales who are slowly rotting away.
Truly, I have to say, like, I've never rooted for the killer more than when they're like, let's get a great white in captivity. We'll be the first ones. I was like, you guys now just fucking deserved. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're so stupid.
Like, yeah. And the mom's like, you murdered my son for what? And I was like, yeah, honestly, y'all need to die now.
Well, the mom of the dead guy was there. I must have missed that.
The shark that killed all of them was actually the mom of the other shark.
Right. A lot of cognizant revenge tactics by sharks in these movies, which I'm just not sure would happen. The fourth movie is, correct me if I'm wrong, people at home, but I'm pretty sure it's about a shark following the Brody family down to the Bahamas for revenge. And the tagline literally is, this time it's personal, Jaws the revenge.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
Isn't that incredible? And Michael Caine is in it.
Oh,
it sounds great. It's officially the only Jaws movie that I've never seen. And it's the one I have the most interest in, I'll be honest with you.
That's really, really funny. Getting to what we're going to sort of talk more about, I guess, is the sort of not made Jaws 3, which is supposed to be like a comedy.
Yes.
I was glad this was made like in earnest because it made Jaws 3 funnier. Like, it was kind of a hilarious movie because it was made so earnestly.
It's hilarious in 2021.
Fair.
I'm guessing the year it came out, it was just, like, kind of bad, and then it just got worse and worse and worse with age.
Right, you're probably right.
And I feel like we're finally at an age where we can take it a little less seriously.
Right. Yeah, it has, like, 11% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh, girl.
Something low, yeah.
It's, first of all, it's rough watching, like, a movie from 2020 that's supposed to be in 3D, not in 3D.
Oh.
That doesn't work. This was out of the stratosphere terrible.
It was unreal, the bad 3D. The moments of wanting it to be 3D. To be honest, this movie felt like a bad, like, Disney World attraction. You know, like, it felt like one of those movie theaters that, like, spray water at you.
I love them.
Me too.
A Clifton Hill, Niagara Falls kind of a moment. Yeah.
Totally. That's what I felt like I was in. I was like, I feel like they made a movie around that ride.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, those 4D rides that, like, shake.
And then, like, your air gets blown at you. Yeah, that's
good. Yeah, I love those stupid bullshit pieces of shit. And no one's ever on them except for you.
Oh, yeah, totally. They make me a little bit... They're a little fat-phobic because they're... The chairs are a little small, but I still love them.
I haven't been on one in a little while, but yeah, I believe that 100%.
Yeah.
Do you have favorite shark movies outside of this Jaws 3 moment? Is there any shark movies that if I say... What are your shark movies, baby honey? Like, anything comes to mind?
I can't say I even know of shark movies. I really like Lake Placid, though, which is not a shark movie. I know.
Oh, that counts. Even though it's alligator crocodiles, that counts.
I think that movie is so hilarious and cute. I don't know, and smart and fun and exactly what it should be. So that, to me, that's sort of the one that I think about.
There are four of those movies.
I've only seen the first one, and I kind of don't want to see the other ones. Like the first,
because they're made by I think the most recent one came out like a couple years ago. Like they're not good. I like shark movies. Mm-hmm. There are a few that come for me. Have you never seen The Shallows starring Blake Lively?
I haven't.
Oh my God, Jules, where have you been?
Oh, no, I do love a Blake Lively moment. As people should know, I am the biggest original Gossip Girl fan. I mean, it's out now and I'm not interested.
Yeah, The Shallows is incredible. Love it. I highly, highly recommend it. I don't understand why Blake Lively is able to carry a whole film, but she can't.
Yeah, to be honest, from the ad, it like gave me anxiety, the idea of it just being like her and a shark. Mm-hmm. So that's why I didn't see it, but you're kind of talking me into it.
Oh, it's good. And have you never seen Deep Blue Sea with Samuel Jackson?
No.
Oh, that's going to be one for us.
It gave me like Anaconda vibes when it came out. And honestly,
what's wrong with that?
I couldn't get into Anaconda. I know amazing, but I don't know.
Anaconda is the Jaws of the 90s. That's my...
I think it was like too young to get its hilarity.
Yeah, you know? I don't know if anyone... I don't think... I love it. Non-ironically, I have to say, Anaconda.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right.
And its sequel, The Hunt for the Blood Orchid. I suggest it to everyone.
Okay.
Yeah. So we are going to head soon, I swear, I promise, into Jaws 3, People Zero. But before we get there, I just kind of want to wrap
up. What a great title.
I know. I hate it. I love and I hate it. It just reminds me of like a boomer comedian thinking it's funny in the 70s. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It is that. It's like a, yeah. Well, the guy thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, it comes from the zany minds of the Animal House folks.
Oof, yeah.
I know. Which is just like,
we'll get there.
It's like rich white dudes that went to Yale for drama.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like it's like, so it's like the douchiest possible. Lampoon. Yes, yeah, it's like every episode of 30 Rock, how they make fun of the Yale people.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it Harvard? One of the two.
Yeah. Topher or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I also found with this movie that even when it was clearly not supposed to be in 3D, like the sides,
oh my god,
were like kind of weird and warped because it like the whole thing had this weird 3D film on top of it. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, no, totally. It seemed very bizarre. I feel like it was so made for theaters.
That like I think 1978. Like, does not translate. 1978, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I will say it's not exactly. It is a little boring, I would say. It's like not exactly totally captivating the whole way through. Like it does lose you.
Yeah, I will say like they get to the, well, one, there's so few deaths, which kind of annoyed me because I was for this
and they're terrible too.
Yeah, they're so bad. And it's like for the spectacle, I want like blood everywhere. I want those teeth chomping. Like I want more of that. So I was a little disappointed in that. And parts of it dragged. Like I don't need to hear the development of this relationship between, you know, the guy going off to Venezuela. I don't care.
Dennis Quaid and the mom from My So-Called Life.
Yes, I wasn't like, I don't care about your relationship and where it's going.
I'm sorry, but how hot was Dennis Quaid in this movie?
So hot.
Jesus Louises.
Oh my god. I swear guys were like sexier in the 80s.
And this was unfortunately the late 70s, but yeah, I agree.
No, really? Oh.
I know. Maybe 1980, but I have a feeling it's the late 70s still.
Mm, okay.
When everyone still had mustaches, it's like there's so many hot guys that would be actually hot if they just get rid of the mustache.
Yeah, and I just feel like men were able to like show more of their body too, like more shorts and more like open shirts and more like.
And they could be prettier. They could be a little more femme. Yeah. They didn't have to be so butch.
And that was kind of that was like praised. It's very it's weird how we've kind of gone to this. Even though I'm sure it was like way more homophobic back then, we've kind of created this weird decision for what we think masculinity is.
And I think we're back into an era of like butch only, where like everybody has a beard. It's but like weird. In the 80s, in the early 90s, you know, everyone was like very clean cut, kind of feminine.
100%.
And I'm glad we're out of that era, to be honest, because I'm not into that as much.
Yeah, me too. And I sort of said this to you before we started rolling, but like I miss these kind of movies that are just like ridiculous and not so serious horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think there's that many of them anymore because I think, which is great that horror is taken more seriously, but I think there's less of this sort of wild kind of like smashed together horror movies that then become these like hilarious classics.
No, totally. And it is this like spectacle movie in a way that is very dated. Like we don't do this anymore where like there are set pieces in this movie that are just there because they're impressive. Like with, what is it called? Where all the water skiers make a pyramid together.
Oh my god.
Whatever that is. Like there's so much of that throughout the whole movie. And you know, it's just because like this was something that impressed people in the late 70s to see it on a big screen. Like,
honestly, it impressed me.
It was so stupid. And I love how there's like this interaction with the two girls on top of the pyramid, but they're clearly not. They're just like...
They're talking, but
they're
it's like...
talking, yeah.
Like,
I don't think you're talking... Like, I don't think this is really happening.
Yeah.
Did any of them die? Was there ever a scene where like the people on the water skis actually got eaten? No, there wasn't.
That's what made me crazy, because it was so foreshadowed. It was like so clearly like, this is going to happen. There is going to be a death of these like crazy water skiers.
Yeah.
Never happened. And then like the one time that they all fell because they were like, oh, there's a shark, and the whole pyramid fell, they got them out. Dennis Quaid got them out. I was mad.
There was a few moments where I thought for sure there was... I scared myself. There was a scene that they're like at night, where there was like a shark, kind of like a scary moment with a shark that no one got killed in.
Yeah.
And they're all up on the boat, and there's still one British guy still like floating in the water in the background.
Yes.
And I thought for sure he was going to get pulled under or something. And no, nothing.
And then he just doesn't. I know.
You know the moment I'm talking about?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. And I was scared. I was like, I don't want to see this. This is not good.
I like how you were scared.
Yeah,
I was also scared. Like, there was like burglars at one point, and they never explained that.
Did they get eaten?
Yeah, but yeah, like, yeah. You don't even know what they were doing there. They were just like,
they were burglaring.
But like, what?
The fishy fishies.
They wanted to steal like orcas?
They wanted to take
bizarre.
And I felt so bad for those dolphins that were like, let me out.
Oh my God.
Cindy and Sandy. So in this movie, in Jaws 3D, there are two characters by the name of Cindy and Sandy that are dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a through line, to be honest with you.
They're like our protagonists.
They really are. The movie literally ends with the two protagonists and the two dolphins in a freeze frame.
It's the most bananas thing. Like, the fact that at the end they're like, oh my God, we're safe. And then she was like, wait, where's Cindy and Sandy? I was like, nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares about Cindy and Sandy.
I forgot about the stupid dolphins. Like,
the dolphins are so embarrassing in this
movie. I love dolphins. No one that like loves PETA, write in. I'm not angry, but...
maybe we do hate them.
Yeah, you know.
I think I've eaten shark before. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, really?
Yes. I think that like it's a part, like it sometimes is in fancy Italian food.
That makes
like,
sense.
Fancy Italian like pasta.
Yeah, okay. I believe that.
And that's my memory. I would do it again too.
I would eat it.
Any totally. PETA fans are out there. I'm gonna eat the sharks.
I would absolutely eat a shark too. I know that there's like shark fin soup.
Which apparently is very sad.
Oh, is that? Oh, sorry, well, then I wouldn't eat it?
Well, apparently the whole thing is that, like, there's all of this fishery going on where they're cutting off shark fins and then just letting the shark die.
Oof! Yeah.
And they just, like, sink to the bottom of the ocean and get eaten by little bitties.
That's scary. The little bitty fishies scare me even more.
Yeah, there's so many of them.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jules just threw up.
In the movie Jaws 3D, when they're in the, like, underground world, and they had like fishes popping out. It was like a haunted house, but fish themed.
Oh, right, that was very
weird.
And I was
like, this is my nightmare.
Yeah. Like, so you explained it well. I'm gonna say it again, just in case people weren't listening. So in Jaws 3D, it's like takes place at the Sea World, where there's this compound that's a lagoon built into the actual ocean.
Yeah,
and then within the lagoon, there's these like underground tunnels that take you into like fun little like cave, kind of like, it kind of reminds me of like a science center sort of a moment.
Yeah, totally.
And there's a scene where a bunch of teens like just go into the cave to like explore, and there's like, yeah, it is like a haunted house of like tentacles and stuff. It's very weird.
Literally fish pop out and they're like, ah, it's so bizarre.
Yeah, they do. It doesn't make sense. This movie doesn't make any sense. Like a lot of it does not add up.
It was like spaghetti thrown at the wall. Like,
yeah, it was. And one of the moments where all of the tourists are in the underground tunnels, and then somehow they see the giant shark approaching from the other side of the lagoon, like, completely, and they all start running. But it's like, there's no way they see this fish.
Also, if I was, like, a person at this, you know, facility, I wouldn't necessarily think a shark coming would mean I'm going to die. You'd just be like, whoa, there's a shark.
Yeah, I know.
You know, you wouldn't think, oh, no, like... idea. I just feel like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I was surprised by their reaction. I was like, really?
And there's no way a shark could bash through that kind of glass. There's just no way.
There's no way.
There's like, a lot of shark bashing through things in Jaws 2 that also doesn't make any sense.
These sharks really do have like brains, and they're like,
they do. Well, that's what they have in what's the one I like? Deep Blue Sea.
Oh, Deep Blue Sea.
They're hyper intelligent, honey. The tour guide, okay, there was like a blonde tour guide at the SeaWorld in this movie. Do you remember her?
Yes.
Didn't she look exactly like Melissa Joan Hart?
She totally gave Melissa Joan Hart vibes. Yeah,
right. And yeah. Did you feel that way before I put it in your brain?
No, I didn't, but I did think she was familiar.
Too bad. That's too bad. Yeah, I thought it was her, but no, it couldn't. Mm-hmm. Could not have been.
She's just a vampire.
Yeah, well, she's religious. She's really
religious. Oh, and I know it's so disappointing. I have the same birthday as her.
Oh, that's a good one.
It used to be good until she became like a crazy
until
Christian.
God's Not Dead too. I know.
Yeah. God.
I don't know if she's in the first one, but she's definitely in the second one.
She's in the second one.
I share my birthday with Heath Ledger.
Oh, RIP. That's a good one.
What do you mean?
RIP?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Somebody said once, you know, like, maybe he died, but I don't think so.
Oh my God. He's dead! Sorry, everybody. No, I knew.
Just kidding. I mean, I'm not kidding. He is dead. I'm sorry.
Oh my God, Jules, let's be kind about these memories. So, overall feelings, overall sensations, overall opinions about Jaws 3D, how do we feel? What do we give it out of 5?
Out of 5? Oof. For, like, entertainment, like, I enjoyed it 3 out of 5. But it's a bad movie.
It's not a great movie.
It doesn't deserve 3 out of 5. Like, I'd probably give it, like, 1.5, 2 out of 5. But, like, I did kind of... It's one of those movies that I would say you put on when you have a few friends over and you want to kind of be able to, like, chat through it, maybe have some drinks. Like, it's that kind of movie.
Oh, no, totally. Which I celebrate in a movie any day of the week.
Totally. Exactly that. And so it's like, you don't have to pay attention to the plot because the plot makes no sense. But, yeah, it's, like, a fun... I had fun. What about you?
It's got to be a 2, maybe even a 1. It's pretty terrible. I've seen it before. this is my second joyous experience taking in Jaws 3. To what I understand, it probably is the worst of the whole franchise. People really hate Jaws the Revenge, aka Jaws 4, but I feel like people are coming back around to it. Huh. So I need to see it. I need to see
it. Yeah, I'd watch it too.
We should watch it soon. I really feel like shark movies are very end of summer.
Yeah.
And very like this. Actually, I feel like this is the long weekend where Jaws took place. Yes. Is it Labor Day?
We are on Labor Day weekend.
I'm almost positive this is when Jaws takes place. Auspicious or well organized? You tell us.
Mind blown.
Okay, Jules, are you ready to learn a little bit about Jaws 3, People Zero?
I am so ready to learn. I know a teeny tiny bit, so I'm really excited for you to teach me more.
Okay, you know a little bit. I kind of want to be like, what do you know? But you know what? I don't want any spoilers.
Yeah, you go. Just you tell me.
All right, so Jaws 3, People Zero. Jaws 2 comes out, and it does well financially, but is critically a bit of a stinker because, you know, it's not good. So they think, okay, what do we do now? Say, like, the big head cheeses at the studio. Mm. And something they think about is the massive success of some of the slapstick comedies of the mid to late 70s. I'm talking about Airplane, Animal House, stuff like that. And so our producers, who don't have any of the previous talent coming back, think, well, maybe we should go in a totally different direction and make Jaws satire. So they're like, okay, what are we going to do? They get a pitch by none other than who was Maddie Simmons, who was fresh off the success of National Lampoon's Animal House. Ooh. This guy, is brought in as a producer and outlines a story that's commissioned by National Lampoon writers John Hughes and Todd Carroll for a script. So yeah, John Hughes, Hughes.
That's the one thing I knew, is that John Hughes was connected somehow to this.
Right? Isn't that wild, wild?
Unbelievable, because John Hughes is amazing.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
What's your relationship with John Hughes? Do you have, like, a favorite moment?
I mean, Breakfast Club for me is very near and dear to my heart, I would say. I really like almost all of John Hughes' movies. I've never seen Pretty in Pink, so that's the only one I haven't seen.
I don't think I've seen any of them. Is he Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Yeah, he's Ferris Bueller's Day Off. 16 Candles.
Nope.
Yeah, no, he's great. I mean, they're all great. They're all like amazing coming of age teen movies that I really hold up for me. I just think he writes really well. That being said, like, I don't know how much in the now woke world they hold up, because they're pretty white, pretty straight. But that being said, they meant a lot to me when I was younger. So I have a true love. And I think he's a good writer. I think he's able to kind of capture a moment. So I was shocked when I found out he was connected in some way to the writing of this.
Oh, possibly. He absolutely was. And do you know who was approached to be the director of this project? Was another big name for the time.
Oh, who?
It was a Mr. Joe Dante. So Joe Dante is known for quite a few movies, but the biggest ones I think would include Gremlins and The Howling.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, have you seen either of them? Amazing. Have you seen Gremlins?
I've tried.
You've tried? Oh.
I'll say the beginning was too slow for me, and I wasn't in the mood to watch it. It sort of seemed like I needed to try it. I feel like I need to try again. But he's so known for like being a creature feature kind of guy.
He is. Also like kind of comedy infused or even like YA infused creature movies, which is really cool. He had directed, I would say, the biggest Jaws ripoff, which was called Piranha from 1978.
Oh, I've heard of Piranha. I will not watch it on account of my fear of fish.
I think Piranha is one of the very first horror movies that ever traumatized me. It was on TV, and I was with my mom or my stepdad when I was like a little kid. And there's a scene where like all the piranhas are swarming around someone, and they're like, kind of like skeleton-esque hand comes reaching out of the water and like not kidding. And yeah, it like really traumatized me as a child. I'll never forget that moment.
I will. That's one of the ones that I have no interest in seeing, because I think it would just be too scary. It wouldn't be fun.
So we have all this big name talent attached. Mm-hmm. Even the writer of the novel had a cameo written for him in the opening scene where he gets eaten by a shark in his Hollywood mansion pool.
That's cute.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
It's kind of funny.
But eventually, Jaws 3 People Zero was shut down by Universal Studios due to creative conflicts. I think one of the general concerns is that they didn't want to soil, you know, an in-house brand that they might want to continue with down the road. They didn't want to be the ones to sort of make fun of themselves.
Okay.
Yeah. So, oh, well.
That's interesting. And when I sort of, like, you told me that there was this, we were going to talk about this kind of, and I did my little bit of research, which was very barely anything. But I got to say, I don't know. I don't love the National Lampoon movies. I think of them. I don't love Animal House, but I also think there's such a moment in time. I think that maybe if I was young, it's like, it reminds me of like the American Pies.
Oh, totally.
Which I thought were hilarious when I was like, whatever, 13, 12 or whatever. But I'm sure now would be like so dumb, you know, and I bet 12-year-olds would see it now and be like, how is this funny? Like, it felt such a time. So
yes, a very silly kind of like little boy toilet humor,
dirty sort of slapsticky,
like Porky's even kind of like that too. It's definitely not woman friendly material.
No, I mean, no, it was not. It's not. But I just also think that I just think that if they tried to make it funny, I wondered that it wouldn't be, I sort of thought it wouldn't be funny.
Yeah, I agree too. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what the actual script, because I took a look at it, entails. Mm-hmm. And it kind of, I don't know how it would have actually presented on screen, but the script itself, which I managed to find illegally, was not that funny. It had, definitely had moments of cuteness and like, sure. It was very meta-referential. Like, it definitely is making fun of itself a lot. But
was it? I know that the other one thing I know about it is that they, like, were going to kill Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, there is. So there's a moment in the script for a character called the director.
That's funny.
I think they were trying to set it up for a cameo for Spielberg if they could get him.
Right.
But it does sound like they were close to getting a lot of big names for cameos in this.
Wow.
I think a lot of people were just nonplussed that Jaws 2 had been made. So I think some of the people from the first movie were willing to come back and make fun of the franchise because of what it had become. Yeah. So the film opens up with a film crew trying to make a Jaws sequel, which is sort of the premise of the film. A shark turns out to be an alien, but we'll get there.
What?
And this film crew is hunted down by a great white shark, and it keeps halting production. So the script literally opens up with Jaws novelist Peter Benchley, who's eaten by a shark in his own swimming pool.
How does the shark get to the pool?
I think that's part of the zany McBainy. It's kooky, it's spooky, Jules. Yeah, as you were saying, there was also a part written for Steven Spielberg. Uh-huh. The movie featured a recreation of the bonfire scene from the first film. Okay, so the very first movie starts with like a really famous opening where a woman gets eaten.
Okay.
But before she does, there's this like very beautiful hippie teenage like bonfire party on the beach where you see all of these like teenagers kind of like fooling around and socializing and playing guitar and stuff. And so it's a pretty famous opening sequence. And they've had a parody moment of it in the script where instead of there's all of these like hot young teens partying on the beach, it's just like a bunch of Hollywood executives in suits partying on the beach. And then one of them gets eaten. Yeah.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's fun. There's a sequence where a shark is killed and gutted, which happens in the original film, where they like open up a shark's stomach to see if any of the victims are inside to see if they got the right shark. But in this version, when they like open the shark's guts, like a bunch of like gag items comes out, like a violin, a coat, like marijuana, stuff like that.
That to me feels very National Lampoon.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I didn't not laugh, but like, it's like,
I mean, like, that's so stupid. Like, really dumb Austin Powers jokes. They do that all the time where like they're taking things out and it looks like it's taking it out of his butt.
Yeah. And they do it in all the movies. I laugh. Oh, yeah. You love that shit.
I do.
You love like stupid humor, though, Jules.
You're right. I do. You're right. I'm acting all holier than thou, but I'm not.
Mm. Yeah. So it would also have this like, there's like a very tough character in it by the name of Pierre Cockatoo, which is a parody of a character in the first film that went by Jacques Cousteau. So like, there's like this kind of funny back and forth things, it kind of falls apart at the end. I find the tone kind of jumps ship, pun not intended. So we go from being very funny and very zany to like moments of actual tension. And you're like, what are you trying to do to me, Jaws 3.0? I don't understand what the tone is. Yeah, and ultimately the shark is an alien for some reason, and I could not tell you why exactly. Do you think I gave you like a pretty? Do you feel like you've seen it?
I do. I feel like I almost want to see it. Like it sounds awful.
Yeah. It doesn't sound good. Do you think it sounds better than Jaws 3D?
See. The thing for me is that I think it would probably be as bad, but it wouldn't be as funny on reflection because it's like they're trying to be funny.
I know what you mean.
So that's sort of what I think.
It's like on the podcast, How Did This Get Made? When they whenever they do something that's like self-aware funny, it doesn't work.
That's right. Totally. 100%.
The only time I've ever heard them do that was with Velocipastor.
Yeah, and they said they wouldn't do stuff like that again.
Yeah.
Because
it also doesn't work with, like, the gist of the show itself. Like, there's something to be fun, like a guilty pleasure. It kind of has to not be aware of what it's doing.
Yeah, I thought the earnestness of the, I don't know if that's a word, but of Jaws 3D made it kind of funny. Like, that kind of made it better.
Very funny. You
know? And like, I just don't know if that would be the same. And like, that's how I feel about Animal House and those movies. Like, I find them hard to watch because I find them kind of cringy. And
very cringy, Jules.
So, yeah, I think they made the right choice. I mean, but again, this movie was, Jaws 3D is a bad movie. So I don't know that they made a good choice, but I'd be glad.
Yeah, I mean, out of all the choices that they could have made, I don't know if they went with the right one necessarily. You're right,
Yeah, no movie would probably have been the way to go, but...
No movie might have been the way to go, yeah. Although, I don't know, like, do you think there's room in this world for a new Jaws movie done well?
See, to me, the concept is so silly that...
People getting eaten by sharks?
It happens. It very rarely, but also, like, a shark on, like... When someone gets eaten by a shark, it's not like a shark that's, like, serial killing people.
You don't know that.
I mean, I don't guess it's never happened before. I guess it could happen.
We don't know what they're up to in their heady heads.
That's true. I think the idea of like a serial killer shark is silly. So call me crazy. Okay. But, so I guess I feel like I think there's definitely space for it, but I think it would have to be sort of made with a bit of humor or a bit of like something or do it really earnestly, but know that it's going to be kind of silly.
Well, there was a like, very
really campy.
There was one example other than the first Jaws of like a shark movie that was really effective and really scary mm-hmm. without being campy at all. Have you heard of Open Water?
No.
So I think it was like the mid-2000s. There was this film, indie film festival movie called Open Water about a couple that go scuba diving with this like small group.
Yeah.
And then somehow they accidentally get left behind in the middle of the ocean. Oh, and the really movie scary. Is very scary. And the movie is just like an hour and a half of them floating in the ocean, like trying to figure out what to do. And then sharks show up. And that's the movie.
That's horrifying.
And apparently it's based on a real story too.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's really scary.
Isn't that fucked up?
That's really fucked up.
And they made two more and you think they sound really stupid, but the plot for the second one, I haven't seen the second one, sounds equally scary, where it's a bunch of people on like a yacht or some kind of boat and they're going in the middle of the ocean and they decide to go for a swim because they're like in a really beautiful part.
Right.
And they forget to put down the ladder.
Oh.
And they just can't. So they're by the boat, but they just can't. There's no way to get up on it.
Oh my.
Like, this stuff could happen. This is not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, that could happen. So now that you see, this is why you're the writer and the creative one in our friendship. I didn't even think about that as a possibility.
Right? Like people do. Like, there's been like, I think 300 people getting eaten by sharks in the history of time or something like that.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but that's a lot. Like, that's not nothing.
Yeah. And I mean, just the concept of being stuck in the ocean is like horrifying.
Yes.
That's sort of
so scary.
Endless water. And that's just so scary. Like, oh my God. So that just already brings sort of the fear factor, which like was not at all in Jaws 3D because they're in fucking SeaWorld.
Yeah, I know. They're like not in the ocean.
No, it was
in a lagoon.
The choices that were made were real ridiculous.
I'm so glad that you've got that you have been able to watch Jaws 3D.
Yeah, me too. I love also they were like on bumper boats, and I was like, oh, this is gonna be kind of a funny scene where like the shark's gonna bump them all off. That really didn't happen.
None of the setup happened.
No, it was
Chekhov
really
would be very mad.
Yes, his gun was everywhere.
His gun was just nowhere at the same time though. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just floating around.
This is what I tend to, this is a bit of a non-traditional episode because we're talking about a mid-franchise, movie that didn't get made and the franchise continued. And I always ask, could this movie get made? It's up to us to decide. We have to decide right now. So I guess I'm going to redirect the question and ask, do we think a Jaws parody like Jaws 3 People Zero has the chance of ever getting made?
I definitely do, especially because Piranha 3D Double D happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see it being
a good point,
akin
Jules.
To that, you know, like with
but
again,
the Piranha movies were never taken seriously, which is, I think, why those movies were able to happen.
Right, you're right. Okay, I see what you're saying. Whereas the first Jaws is such a...
Although the third and fourth Jaws are right. Very, yeah, they are Piranha territories, so...
So I could definitely see like a comedy Jaws, though I think I think Jaws is so beloved. Like it's one of those movies that people quoted on their favorite all-time movies so often.
I know. And I always judge them for being normies. And then I did rewatch it and it is a perfect film.
It is. Yeah. Okay. I'll watch it.
It's really good and it's scary and it's effective and it's like very Spielberg and the way that it's not... Like, even though there's moments of extreme terror, like, it's also very fun and whimsical and, like, you move on from those moments pretty quickly.
Wow.
And it kills a kid. There's a child that gets eaten and explodes into a geyser of blood. It's very shocking.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing because I laugh in weird situations.
Yeah.
That's awful. Wow. Wow.
Is that? Like, I always think it's very anti-Hollywood, excuse me, to kill a child in a movie. So I'm kind of like pro it.
It is. It totally is. That's why I'm surprised that a Spielberg movie would do that.
And it was rated PG because I believe, if I'm not wrong, this was before the era of PG-13. So you're either PG or you were R.
And right. And even in that scene where she, that iconic scene where she's sort of swimming and then she dies, gets eaten. Yeah. She's not topless or anything.
I don't know. I think she is supposed to be naked. I just don't recall if you see any boob or not.
If you see anything, right? Because sometimes that makes, that changes.
Or if you did, you saw it very slightly. Uh-huh. You could get away with a lot more on PG back then, before there was a PG-13, than you could now. Like, I think they've gotten a lot stricter when it comes to things like violence.
The rating system is so ridiculous.
I think so, yeah. Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So that's kind of it for me. Jules, I love this. Was so fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on. I hope people aren't like screaming at me through the pod world, but thank you guys. And I appreciate having to watch this like ridiculous movie.
It was pretty ridiculous. Do you think you'd ever come back? Do you think you'd ever join me again?
I would totally come back. Absolutely.
Oh my God. I don't know if people know this because they absolutely don't know this, but me and Jules for a long time wanted to do a podcast.
We did.
About, what was it about? What was the gist? Remind me.
This was sort of you forcing me to watch horror movies again, as that is our relationship. And then me kind of coming at it through a therapeutic lens because, like I said, I'm a counselor specializing in mental health and addiction. So there's a lot to be done around therapy of both the killers and bad guys and the victims, and I
absolutely. And then Jen Adams, who's a creator and writer on the internet, went around and started a podcast called Psychoanalysis, doing the exact same thing with a much better title.
Beat us to it.
What was our title?
And wasn't it Horror Therapy?
That's not bad.
It's not horrible.
You either go very creative or you go right to the point.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I'm okay with that.
Is real good.
What?
Psychoanalysis is really
good. I know. It's like, I'm mad about that. It's like, we can never do it now. Not because they're doing a similar podcast, but because they got the title.
Yeah, exactly. No one would click on ours.
No, they wouldn't. Well, I love you so much, Jules.
Love you too. Thank you so much. And have a great night.
All right, well, thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back with another episode of Development Hell. Coming soon to Dread, Bad Candy, on Halloween night in New Salem, radio DJs Chili Billy, played by Corey Taylor, and Paul, played by Zach Galligan, tell a twisted anthology of terrifying local myths that lead to a grim end for small-town residents. If you love Slipknot, Gremlins, and horror, this is the film for you. Bad Candy is coming out in theaters and on demand September 14th and on Blu-ray October 10th.